Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one here on Cody and Gold is, of course, Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos in Mile High. And as Binkley has pointed out over and over, the weather Bink updates now, what, 26 degrees or so for the high and 3 to 5 inches of snow, 80%.
That's not the latest? 23 degrees, winds north-northeast, 10 to 15 miles an hour, 80% chance of accumulating snow. They've upped the totals to about 3 to 5. But again, you're at the edge of the Rocky Mountains. That could turn into 10 or 12. I mean, I about said something you could cut, but it could turn into 10 or 12.
Steve Spagnuolo was asked about playing in the snow, and do they approach the game any differently?
The elements are what they are. Everybody's got to deal with it. Coach really addressed it this morning, and we just roll. You can't let anything take you off course of what you're trying to do. I mean, the only thing I can think of when you ask that question is, you know, I just go back to what's the field conditions, you know, and let's be smart with footwear and all that. Guys, DBs, keep your feet underneath you, little things like that. But other than that, I don't think the game plan changed.
I know Mahomes earlier in the week was asked about it. He said he was kind of excited. Even at the end, he made sure he pointed out how he was excited about the snow. I don't think the weather in a negative way should influence the Kansas City Chiefs. They played through this. They'll be fine against the Denver Broncos. We will find out at 1 o'clock from Andy Reid. I hope to find out a little bit more about where the injury situation is. Mitchell Schwartz, the back, probably doesn't seem too like a likelihood that he's going to play. Sammy Watkins, if you had a guess, Sammy Watkins, Mitchell Schwartz would be the two guys I would assume that we may find out today even. And then, Taco Charlton's dealing with a little knee situation heading into the game as well.
And keep an eye on the weather and injuries. Like, a lot of times teams don't want to risk it if it's not going to be good footing out there. You're not going to risk.
Yeah, back spasms injuries in cold weather just seem they don't go very well together.
I will say this, though. In the cold weather, Pat Mahomes, you know, talked about the grip. You got to think about its advantage towards receiver. Quarterbacks are rather playing the snow than the rain. Why? The footing is so bad for defensive backs. The receivers know exactly where they're going. Cornerbacks are backpedaling, and you get that extra grip on the football. I'm going to love it. I love snow and football, so this is perfect. Sunflower Showdown tomorrow at 11 in Manhattan. Are we going to have a watch party or not? Kansas actually holds the lead in this series.
They do.
65-47, five ties. It's the third longest series in the country. It's the 110th straight meeting between them. It would be 118 straight meetings, which will be this game, but they, for some reason, did not play in 1910 because they didn't get along. To me, Alex, that's what a rivalry is all about. Les Miles was all talk last year.
Yeah, he never had the very famous...
Yeah, this year he kind of backed off.
Who's K-State comment from miles to go and turned out to regret that one.
They still played Manhattan. They love it. But he didn't really see. He was more complimentary this year. Like, he learned his lesson on that.
K-State's been very good.
But the K-State players this week were getting talked about not offered by Kansas. Mm-hmm. They grew up near Lawrence.
Yeah. Now, that part, that stuff, that, and I agree, that part of the story, that comes up every single year. And it is a problem. You makes you question all the time. Like, how does this kid get away? Why did he end up there? And sure, I understand why the individual athlete at K-State or at KU, if shoes on the other foot sometimes, let's say, and one school offered you, the other didn't. And yeah, you can take that personally. As far as the narrative around the game, I feel like that stuff it's legit, but it gets overblown on a yearly basis because it's the same thing. I guarantee you next year, they're going to ask someone at K-State or at KU, well, they didn't recruit you, did they? How does it make you feel? It's the same crap every single year. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, KU is is a huge, huge underdog.
Well, K-State ended up with a Dineen. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it, too. And I talked to John Kurtz about this. I brought this up because I think it is important. Deuce Vaughn was 5'5". And a lot of teams shied away from him. Yeah, there was an offer there from Missouri and some of the service academies, but a lot of schools didn't like it. The size. I've got a friend that's got a son that's a 2-star kid. He can't get to Division I because he's 5'11". Now, 1AA has taken him. He's got a full ride to Northern Iowa. Here's my point. Chris Klieman comes from an FCS program where they did take chances on guys that were told they're too small or not big enough to play at the Division I level.
That's a good point.
Chris Klieman has a great eye for talent. Obviously, when he's at North Dakota State, they rack up 4 rings, put 2 quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think that serves as an advantage, getting guys like Deuce Vaughn to Manhattan, because you take chances on guys the Division I teams don't want.
He's been an absolute stud so far this season for Kansas State. As far as Kansas, we don't know who the quarterback will be tomorrow. They might go with multiple quarterbacks. It
Let
seems
me ask
to be
you,
the
does
sense.
It matter?
Probably not. Probably not. Thanks, Bing. Probably not. Probably not.
It's
Kendrick. Maybe it's Mac Vitti. Maybe it's Jalen Daniels. Really?
Will they spell the name right?
Let's hope they can at least get McVitie spelled correctly on the back of the uniform, if that's the case.
Yeah, miles
at least,
to go,
you
got to
at least do that. Miles to go. Next up on What's Trending, the Bucs and Raiders game was supposed to be Sunday Night Football this week, a big showdown. Instead, it's been moved to 3:05 here local time. The Chiefs going to play at 3:25, so you won't be probably paying too much attention to that one now as much. But that was because of the issues with COVID and the concerns that there's a chance the game could get moved and you would leave that Sunday Night Football slate without a game for Sunday Night Football. The latest on that from Ian Rappaport, it has to do with Trent Brown and that offensive line.
Well, the NFL and the NFLPA, Kay, are investigating the situation surrounding the Raiders, COVID-19, their protocols, and how strictly they adhere to them. You mentioned the Raiders put some players on the COVID-19 reserve list. They put a lot of players on the COVID-19 reserve list. It's not just Trent Brown and David Arnett who tested positive. It's every offensive lineman, all of the starting offensive line who, as Tom Pelissero mentioned, were spotted on camera in the internal videos from the Raiders hanging out without masks on. They also apparently are looking into the NFL and the NFLPA whether or not Trent Brown was wearing his tracking device.
So he goes on and on. We're going to talk more about this and what it means going forward. But the Raiders game, no new positive tests today. That's the good news. So Raiders Bucks on schedule for the updated time, 3:05 kickoff. Bake. It should be a pretty good game as well. The Raiders, how do they follow up the win against Kansas City? They were on a bye. So how do they follow
very
up?
Very excited. Victory laps and you name it. They were very excited
victory
about
lap
beating
around
the Kansas City
stadium.
Chiefs. But their fans are mad. I mean, it's Sunday Night Football. They were going to get to watch them. They're not letting fans come into the Allegiant Stadium this year, but they were a little bit upset about it. Friendly names. We all like Dustin Colquitt, and we were wishing him the best in Pittsburgh. Steelers just put a tweet out a couple of hours ago. They released Dustin Colquitt. Of course, the long history with the Colquitts and the Steelers and everything else, this comes as a bit of a surprise. Dustin Colquitt, good dude.
Oh, no question.
But you can't keep somebody because he's a good dude.
Yeah. And I haven't followed the Steelers punting game enough to see what kind of year Dustin Colquitt's having by any means. But, that was notable. We'll see if he ends up somewhere else before the season's over, depending on if another team's not happy with how their punting is going. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp. Alex Gold, Steven Serta with you. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, reminder, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You're going to hear from Andy Reid. And we'll get his thoughts from one final time before the Chiefs square off with the Broncos on Sunday afternoon. Plus, Ben Heisler at 1:15 or so. Gold versus Heis. We'll get to our picks. See how he did last week against me and how I did against him, more importantly. And we'll get you some picks for the weekend as well as we now go inside the huddle.
Inside the huddle, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good.
Again?
Damn it, Serta.
I turned it down yesterday.
No, I mean, that was the same.
Oh, I had your computer turned up a little bit because we had some audio that was a little quiet, so it was a little loud.
He's just making sure we're...
You have to start turning it down
before... It happened
before.
At the exact same time. Yeah, yeah.
It's aggressive.
I just need to put it in the system.
We're good.
It'll be better once it's...
It is inside the huddle. We are good to go in that regard. I didn't want to talk more about the Raiders situation. So they had no new positive tests, which is fantastic news. It looks like they're on track to play Sunday, although Jonathan Abram's not, because as Ian Rapoport laid out there, he was detected to have been close to Trent Brown later than the other. So on Tuesday, and because of the time frame, it's just not possible unless the game gets moved to Monday. I still think there's a remote possibility that this Raiders game gets pushed to Monday just because.
Which is fine to me. I've kind of liked
it. Yeah.
Doubleheaders.
I love that 4 o'clock. I know a lot of people had to take off work and all that, but selfishly for someone that's off the air at 2 o'clock, that 4 o'clock kickoff on Monday between the Chiefs and the Bills was fantastic. But look, this is extremely frustrating when you look at what the Raiders apparently did here, which is one player and Trent Brown couldn't even wear a tracker. Like, I'm not even trying to get into the health issues and all that, but just the protocols. The National Football League had the issue with the Tennessee Titans. Looks like they're just going to get a fine and that is it. You have the Raiders who can't just have their player wear a device that everybody else is wearing that's not restrictive at all. And it would help them. That's why there's 4 offensive linemen that are kind of in flux for the game on Sunday. It's not because they tested positive for COVID. It's because they might have been close to them, but also because they can't confirm it because Trent Brown might not have been wearing the device the whole time, and they've got video evidence to suggest that. So who knows how the NFL and the NFLPA are going to come down on this, but it's a selfish act, not only for his own team, but for the rest of the NFL. And it does kind of just show you the difference between the Raiders and the Chiefs in terms of their team mentality and the focus. Like, the Raiders are coming off this big win against Kansas City. Then they go on the bye week, and then you would think you would be as focused as ever if you're the Raiders. You've got an opportunity. You've got a big win on the road against Kansas City under your belt. You got, 3 wins on the season. You're feeling good about yourself, and you would think you'd be focused in more than ever to move forward. And, yeah, you have Tom Brady coming in, and it does kind of just show you the difference of how serious some teams are taking this and others. Like Kansas City, they may have had the one positive COVID test with Jordan Tamu, and he's back with the team now, which is great news. And Anthony Sherman had to go on the COVID list just because he was officially, in contact with someone.
It's the same thing
that
the Raiders are dealing with, the line and Abram, the close contact.
Exactly. Now, Sherman, that's why Travis Kelce ended up being your fullback at times, your H-back at times in that game, and actually blocked really, really well. But it shows you the difference. And, Serta, we were talking before the show, all three of us, just especially after hearing EB talk yesterday and the differences between the Raiders and the Chiefs and just the mentality that the Chiefs have. I mean, listen to EB when we're talking here on one end about the Raiders and they can't get their you-know-what together. And then hear what EB says about what makes the Chiefs so special.
Sometimes professional sports have a tendency to think that it's all about the numbers and the egos. And sometimes I think people forget that we play a team game. This is what has made us special. Our guys are going to do whatever is needed to go out and win. Because when it's all said and done with, we talk about this each and every week. It's not about the numbers, okay? It's about the alphabets. And the only 2 alphabets that matter in this industry is a W and an L. Whatever we have to do to get that W, that's all what matters. And then you know what? We're going to come back, put a game plan together for the following week, and we're going to get it going and get ready to go. Yes, ideally we want all of our players to have all the success that they can. But we do know this. If we can do this together and do it for one another and do it the right way, okay, it'll give us a chance to have a chance to go out and pursue the goals that we want to pursue.
And I do believe that was Pete Sweeney's question. I think that's the one he was reminded of.
It is. It was, yeah.
Pete, good job, Pete. He brought a great response. But if you hear this from EB, and I saw so many people talking about it, which you don't see a lot of talk about coaches' press conferences in a positive way. If there's something negative, you'll see it spin. But so many people are like, give this guy a head coaching job now. I saw that so many times with EB, but I love that because he's 100% right. W's and L's. It's the only thing that matters in football. I mean, we look at the score sometimes, man, this is a close game, and did you win or not? That's really, and obviously that's what you've been living with, was Survivor League. Did you win or did you not? You remind us of that, but that's the important thing. And EB, I've always said the guy, when he got here, he was the one you could hear at training camp talking. I always thought maybe he'd be a big-time Division I coach because he just seems like he likes to teach a lot.
His name came up in that whole Colorado thing. I don't know how legit that was at all, but it came up.
It should have come up because that's where he played, and they're stupid for not going that direction or at least reaching
out. Yeah, who knows if he
wanted. They might have done that. They might have reached out to EB, but he likes the NFL game obviously better, but he'll be a good head coach wherever he goes. But it's that teaching mentality. But, man, that's some unbelievable stuff, and this is why the Chiefs get the mindset they have. Because what we heard was like, wow, this is great. This is what the Chiefs hear every day from Eric Bieniemy. This is, this is Andy Reid's extension to like Andy Reid talks to him and fires him up, but here's a guy like Eric Bieniemy that you go talk to him or whatever, and right. get fired up.
No, we had said when Cody obviously is typically here, and I'll say it every time right before EB talks, and he is, out of all the coaches that we hear on a weekly basis and the press conferences that we carry, from the coaching standpoint, he's the guy that I look forward to hearing from the most. And like what yesterday's went viral, right, and on a national level, but that's the kind of stuff you do hear throughout this season, in particular from Eric Bieniemy, and it is hard not to get fired up. I thought it was really cool, and to your point a little bit, Bink, on Twitter last night and in the afternoon, as the Chiefs tweeted out that answer that you just heard, you saw what Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, just to name a few of the players that are all were like, basically like, that's my guy, or hey, I wouldn't want to play for anybody else, or the spot on, I think was the exact, there was an emoji that was used for Mahomes, but he was just saying that like, that's spot on, essentially just as far as what EB preaches, and that's how they view it as well.
And you got Adam Gase, where players want to leave, like Le'Veon Bell, or Mike McCarthy, when people are saying the coach is unprepared. And then you have Eric just sitting here, and you're like,
yeah, but why? That's exactly. It's look at the player's response to him on social media to that, just that cut of what he said. And, you know, players love Andy Reid, but they love this guy, and people love everyone on Andy Reid's coaching staff. So it says a lot about the culture of the team. It says a lot about, you know, even Daniel Jones, when he's stumbling on an 80-yard run last night in a game that they eventually lost, his teammates are all laughing and joking and stuff. Like, I don't think the Chiefs would have been thrilled if that was them, and they wound up losing that football game, because to them it's all about winning. And it's hard to, in a league that's so competitive, it's hard to consistently get everybody to buy in all the time, especially when you're struggling, especially when you're not playing as well as you know you can. Like, Eric Bieniemy needs to be a head coach, and he deserves to be a head coach.
Question.
He's from a media standpoint, he's not always going to give you the answer that you want, but he's always going to say something that's impressive. And part of being a head coach in the NFL is just getting along with people and being able to manage people. That's why Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers hated him, because he was bad at managing people and dealing with people. Adam Gase is an awful head coach because he's a horrendous manager.
I mean, not only what we've seen, just the results on the field with EB around Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy doing what he's done the last couple of years in Kansas City. But if I'm an owner, or if I am a team that still has my GM, right, that's trying to go find a head coach this offseason, right now there's just two vacancies. We figure there'll be another two to four vacancies, whether it's, you know, New York or who else opens up. Like, how do you not either both see what he's done in terms of the end result, but also hear that yesterday? And if you're paying attention at all, and how do you not like, man, that, I don't care what we have to do. That's my target. That's the guy we're going out to hire. That's the guy I want being a head coach. If I'm a player on Atlanta, yeah, or on Houston, how am I not also saying, man, that's, I want to go play for that. I want that guy being my head coach.
And you get endorsements from Mahomes and Reid that carry a lot of weight in the National Football League. But the Chiefs, this is one of the things, like, they had everybody come back. It won't be the same next year. It'll be talking about replacing some of these coaches. They didn't have to deal with it this year, so it clearly was run it back with the players that got a lot of talk, but is running back with the coaching staff as well. And obviously Mike Kafka is going to be fine in that role, because that's probably who's going to be the offensive right. coordinator, I'd say.
But naturally makes sense.
But they will lose some coaches from this coaching staff last year. It is odd to me that Jameis got so much crap for eating the W's.
Well, that was just an awkward, strange video from Jameis Winston.
People were making fun of Jameis when we said eat the W's.
Yeah, but exactly. I think it makes it even look like you could hear it from Eric Bieniemy. He got the same point across.
W's and L's.
And he did it in a great way, whereas Jameis Winston just made it really awkward.
You could cut the moment. You
eating
know,
a W.
Yeah, I mean, he was right. I loved it. I thought he was 100% right.
I mean, it was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining. Are you on board, by the way? There's a big belief from some that Jameis Winston should start, or not from some. There's one particular, I think it was Dominique Foxworth, that said that Jameis Winston should start getting some playing time over Drew Brees.
Didn't he? I don't know if it's time for that, but he had a good year last year. Touchdown 30
wise, interceptions.
But
30 interceptions.
But you know what, though? Didn't he have LASIK in the offseason? Didn't he correct his eyes? And they thought that might have been some of the difference, because he was clearly confusing. The other team's uniforms.
Does that help with the decision making, though? I don't know. I don't think LASIK helps with decision making.
I've had it before, and it does. Did it help? I know.
Did it change your decision making?
Ask Levine. He just did it. He
did.
Can see clearly.
Did it change your decision making of not throwing the ball to another opponent?
You can definitely see better.
Oh, no question. That's at some point LASIK's on the list, Bing, at some point in time. Definitely want to get that. Reminder, your chance here in about 10 minutes or so to get a large specialty pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. Also, you're going to be listening for that Alex Gordon sounder. Today is one of the final days, as a matter of fact, to get qualified to win an Alex Gordon autographed bat plus a $250 Royals Team Store gift card. You'll hear the Alex Gordon sounder during our show here in just a little bit, and also this afternoon around 4:25 on The Drive as well. And thinking of baseball a little bit, so yesterday was really bizarre. The Gold Glove finalists, the Gold Glove Award finalists were announced, and the Gold Glove, there's plenty of issues I have with the award to begin with. And then yesterday, it was really odd. Nicky Lopez, the Rawlings tweets out all the finalists, and Nicky Lopez's name is nowhere to be found. And we're all like, what on earth? Even Nicky sent out a tweet, kind of like the thinking emoji, like this, because this makes no sense. Not saying he has to win the award, but how is he not a finalist, right?
He's becoming a bit of a popularity contest.
Yeah, and then we find out 3 hours or so later, whoops, Rawlings, whoever was running social media, screwed up. They left him off the list accidentally.
Steve Harvey moment.
Yeah, like they left him off the list. So Nicky Lopez actually is a Gold Glove finalist. Again, I don't know if he's going to win the award, but he has to be a finalist. And it sounds like that they thought as well. There's somebody screwed up in that regard. But you have a gripe with the catchers because Salvador Perez was not a finalist and Salvi had a terrific season.
Yeah, because it's Yasmani Grandal and James McCann. They played for the same damn team. They both split time. They each played around 30, 32 games in a 60-game season. That is splitting time, but yet they're both there. That one didn't make sense to me. And it kind of goes against that philosophy of the popularity club, because usually that's Alex Gordon right there.
He's nominated again, Alex Gordon.
Let's hope
that
Alex Gordon goes off in the sunset.
Can he get his
eighth Gold Glove?
I think he gets it.
I do too.
I think he gets it. And I agree with you mentioned like a popularity contest. I think this year it's tricky and how the voting will go down ultimately, because we know a lot of, you know, based on the scheduling, how it was so regionalized this year in baseball, how does that hurt or help? It's going to be based more off of reputation than ever in popularity than ever before because of that. But glad to see that at least they got that correction. It made no sense why Nicky Lopez wasn't at the time at least a finalist for this year's Gold Glove Award for him. So congrats to him, obviously, and Alex Gordon. Hopefully he picks up one final Gold Glove Award as well.
Gordon can be the first to win a Gold Glove Award in his final season since Roberto Clemente in 1972.
Gordon might need an award named after him as well, the way this thing's going. If he gets to his eighth, no question about that.
Platinum Glove winner, too.
Yeah.
He can still win it this year.
Who would be the other guy? Who else could get it?
Well, that is a popularity contest.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know.
It's a voted thing.
We'll see. We'll see. As, of course, World Series, by the way, game 3 tonight between the Rays and the Dodgers. That series all tied up at a game apiece. Coming up next, be listening for that Alex Gordon sounder, your chance to win that autographed bat plus a $250 Royals Team Store gift card. Coming up next, though, matchup to watch, one in particular that could decide who gets that bye in the AFC.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley's in for Cody Tapp today. Coming up here in just a little bit, you'll have a chance to win that large specialty pizza from The Other Place each and every Friday during the football season at 10:30 and right around 12:30 or so. You'll have a chance to that. So we'll get to that momentarily. Also, Serta is getting our next qualifier right now for the Alex Gordon autograph bat. Congrats to Zach in Kingsville for that. So he's qualified for a $250 Royals Team Store gift card and an Alex Gordon autograph bat. Of course, the Royals Team Store is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Holidays right around the corner. If you can stop in there, purchase shirts, caps, outerwear, you name it. Blankets might be a good time to get some blankets. The weather, my goodness, was like 85 degrees yesterday. And then you wake up today and it was wind chill in the 30s or so. We'll get some more on that during our random question of the day as we continue Inside the Huddle. Brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good. So we know it's Chiefs and Broncos, and we've talked a lot about that today. We'll continue to do that throughout the show here on 610 Sports Radio. We're going to head out to Arrowhead in about a half hour or so and hear from Andy Reid and get his thoughts one final time before the Chiefs square up with the Broncos. But there's another game I think you got to be paying attention to on Sunday, and it's in the early noon window, and it's the matchup to watch of the weekend. It's the Titans and Steelers. They are both undefeated teams in the NFL. Pittsburgh's coming off that impressive win against Cleveland. The Titans had a nail-biter in overtime. Great, great game against Tennessee, against the Texans, Tennessee did. And A.J. Brown has been terrific. Ryan Tannehill has been terrific as well. But I think if you're a Chiefs fan and you're watching this game, you hope both teams can somehow lose, but it's just not possible, right? But if you're forced to pick someone that you think's the better option to win, I think the answer is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm talking big picture, Bink. I'm talking about the playoffs, and I'm talking about the one bye week that exists. There's just one. We all know that with the change in the format. It's that vital. The Chiefs don't have the possibility in the regular season of playing the Titans or playing the Steelers. We know Kansas City has the tiebreaker now over Buffalo, over Baltimore. They're not a problem. You beat them twice, you're good to go. You essentially have a two-game lead. They're not a factor for that bye for you. It is going to be, it seems like, Pittsburgh and Tennessee. One of those two teams will still be undefeated after this week. I say it's Pittsburgh that you're going to pick to win, and here's why. Even though I think Pittsburgh's the bigger threat, but that's what I'm getting into here. Pittsburgh still has the tough division to go through. They got the Ravens twice on their schedule, being two times against Baltimore. I know Kansas City beat the Ravens, but I still think Baltimore is the second best team in the AFC. And you look in that division, it's going to be a tougher task for Pittsburgh to get through it. They might get through it because I have Pittsburgh playing the Chiefs in the AFC title game. That was a preseason pick of mine. I think Pittsburgh's that good, and so far they've backed it up. Tennessee, on the other hand, if they don't lose to Pittsburgh, I don't know where the losses are coming from, man.
I can't buy that division. Pittsburgh's just a better team than Tennessee, in my opinion. Tennessee looked great.
I think Pittsburgh wins this game,
against
too.
The Bills, but then the Chiefs go up and beat Buffalo and Buffalo, and I don't think we overhyped the Buffalo Bills this year.
You do.
I'm going Tennessee because when you got down to it, Vrabel versus Reed, you give that direct advantage in the postseason to Andy Reed. The problem with the Steelers and not wanting them to get knocked off here is you're dealing with a coach and a quarterback that both wear rings on their fingers. And they know how to do it. They know how to get it done because they've done it before. I would rather see the Steelers lose because I think the Titans have played so many close games. They will get their L's. And as I mentioned, they got to go to Green Bay. They got to go to Baltimore. Tennessee still has these games. I think the losses are coming for Tennessee. I'm not 100% buying in to that team. Again, the team is about Derrick Henry. Yes, Tannehill, put the graphic up and the numbers with Pat Mahomes. The naked eye will tell you that's a ridiculous argument to even make. He's not in the same stratosphere as Pat Mahomes as a quarterback. But that team is so reliant on Derrick Henry to be the catalyst of how that team goes. Seriously, they bank on everything. Now this game will have, you know, physical specimens. It'll be Derrick Henry for the Titans and Chase Claypool, which is a freak, for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Should be a fantastic game. But Bink, I'm looking at Tennessee, and I'm with you.
I've Pittsburgh made my decision. It's the Titans.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh is the better football team. I think Pittsburgh wins this game on Sunday. I think Pittsburgh's a bigger threat because of that defense and still the playmakers that they have. And I think we saw Ryan Tannehill, as good as he's been in the playoffs, when he had to go out and throw it, when they finally asked him to do it in the game, for example, against Kansas City, when it seemed like the Chiefs, they were able to bottle up Derrick Henry and he needed to throw it at some point. They weren't able to do it. That's my big question I still have with Tennessee. Are the Tennessee Titans for real? If they go out and beat Pittsburgh, it's going to be really tough for anybody to continue to convince themselves that they're not.
Do you remember what the Chiefs did to Derrick Henry in the playoffs?
I just said it. I know.
Yeah, you shut him down. Exactly. You just said it. You shut him down, and it becomes a different team. I'm looking at Pittsburgh with Juju and with Chase Claypool. Again, Chase Claypool, a lot of people don't know his name. 6'4", 235 pounds, ran a sub-4.45. Okay, that hasn't been done since Calvin Johnson. We're talking difficult.
They might be the bigger
problems.
Threat. You and I are in agreement on this. Who's the better team at all? You and I are lockstep on this. But I mentioned this. We're talking just about the bye week, though. And so for me, that's the concern. Like Pittsburgh's a better
Tennessee's
football team.
Got L's on their schedule.
I'm not so sure where they're going to come from ultimately. Like, yeah, they're going to lose
Green
a game.
Bay,
they're not going undefeated. I know, but
I look at
Pittsburgh. They've got the Titans this week, obviously. Then very next week, it's a road game in Baltimore, very losable content. They could win and shock a lot of people and really prove that they're in the driver's seat in the AFC North suddenly.
Pittsburgh in the next 2 weeks could say, look out. And then if Pittsburgh could be on a second tier Baltimore is real quick.
I agree with you there. If Pittsburgh wins this week against Tennessee, and I think they will, and then they go to Baltimore back-to-back weeks after also blowing out Cleveland, then you got to look at Pittsburgh at least as being in that same level as Baltimore. I think, though, for Kansas City, like Baltimore, for everybody else, they're a serious problem. For Kansas City, it's now three games we've seen Lamar Jackson against Mahomes. And I know Baltimore went out yesterday and made the Ngakoue trade, and that's a move that is directly correlated to what they think is going to be a problem in the playoffs for the Chiefs.
It's a Chiefs trade.
Absolutely. And we'll see what the Chiefs do. You know, so far, the Chiefs have gone out, and they brought in a veteran running back in Le'Veon Bell. That's been their big move in season. We'll see if there's another one to come, or is it, you know, what will seem like a bigger move as time goes on? Are they going to go out and get an offensive lineman at some point in time? But I can't wait for this game on Sunday, and I'm talking about the Titans and Steelers game, and we'll learn, are the Titans or the Steelers, how real is everybody? I know Serta thinks Pittsburgh's real as well. We've been talking a lot about them from the beginning of
it's
the
tough
season.
To say if they're real or not, because the schedule's been bad.
But even if Pittsburgh, as long as they don't get blown, if Pittsburgh loses by a field goal to Tennessee, my perception of Pittsburgh is not going to change. It's different. If Pittsburgh blows out Tennessee, I think it will be more of that where people are going to say, all right, see, told you so about the Tennessee Titans.
Well, with Pittsburgh, we'll know in 2 weeks whether they're the second best team in the AFC. Take over that Baltimore Ravens
second
spot.
For second best, yeah, but if Pittsburgh loses two in a row and it's by a field goal to Tennessee and by a field goal to Baltimore, we may say, okay, they're not in that tier, but I'm not going to suddenly think Pittsburgh's just a crap football team.
No, I'm not either, but who would you rather face? Like, who's a better coach you consider?
I'd rather face Tennessee.
Exactly. You shut down Derrick Henry, and you can win the game. Force Tannehill to beat you.
But I don't want
keep
Tennessee getting a bye.
Keep putting the graphic up there with him and Mahomes. Keep putting it up there. I hope they keep doing that until oblivion. Keep putting it up there. Be stopped Derrick Henry. Pittsburgh is not one-dimensional like that.
Yeah, this will be a big game in terms of how it could impact the one seed in the AFC, though, and the track the rest of the way as you start to kind of pay more and more attention to that as we head into Week 7 of this NFL season. We'll take the fifth caller right now, though, to 913-576-7610, 913-576-7610 for your chance to win a large specialty pizza from the other place. But let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
All right, random question of the day. Did you see this, Mink? I don't know if you're a fan of the swing in temperatures and all of that. 80-something yesterday, now down into the 30s. But
you knew the hell I am. I love weather.
Well, saw a tweet just recently from friends over at NBC, 41 Action News, and apparently there's different weather models showing anywhere from a dusting to 8 inches of snow.
This is where weathermen get a free pass. Come on, man. I can go out there and say, well, it may not snow, we might get 8. Okay, you're going to be right. I mean, that is a huge window. We don't sit there and look at football games and say, well, you know, it could be 1 point or it could be a 10-point win. No. Narrow it down, Gary. Get this thing closer to it. So we can see. We've seen you guys whiff on so many different snowstorms, but I agree with what you're saying. This is interesting. I love snow, by the way, so I think this would be great. I'm more interested in the snow in Denver.
It is going to snow in Denver. That's pretty much a guarantee. The question is, next week, will it be snow in Kansas City? You're right, though. It's like, oh, we're going to either nothing or 8 inches. It's quite. You're pretty safe in your estimate.
They're going to lose or win by 8.
No, I'm not. It is still October. No, to answer the question,
it's barely October. It's going to be November before you know it.
I do not want 8 inches of snow in October.
Why not?
No, because that does not bode well for what December, January is going to have to be. I don't have to shovel.
Well, you have to go to your parents' house and shovel or snowball or something.
I might have to. We'll see.
See, I mean, that's probably a problem.
But for me personally, I won't have to shovel for where I live. No.
Then I don't like snow.
I don't like 8. Still, I don't. It's October. It's October.
Have you ever gone outside with a nice 6-pack?
Yeah, I realize I was
living
in Houston for the last 2 years where there was no snow and there was no such thing really as winter.
You had hurricanes.
Not while I was there, fortunately. But yes.
In Boise, it's snow. But the bottom line is, you ever taken a 6-pack or 12-pack and just gone outside in the snow? It's like a natural cooler.
You put the beer in the snow?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that in October.
Like that.
Not in October.
It's going to be November, Gold, in a week.
Around Thanksgiving time, then it can start snowing. I don't want it in October. That's crazy.
I don't want to do that in January.
Well, that's fine. Get rid of the snow. After Christmas and all that, that's fine if you want to go that direction. But I love snow, man.
I don't. I hate snow. I hate everything about it.
Oh, and by the way, these kids won't get snow days anymore because it'll just make them go virtual.
I'm with you. I do wonder, are snow days a thing of the past? Like,
yeah,
overall,
I think so.
Like,
I think they're done. Now it's all going to be virtual.
Even post-pandemic, they can just say it. We'll just have class from Zoom today. I think snow days are gone.
Yeah, I think the kids are going to be very upset by no snow days.
Yeah, that is a real bummer. I guess.
But as a parent,
because before parents could put up like a fuss about it, but everybody knows how to do it now, so there's no arguing.
Yeah, this guy, hey, we're going virtual tomorrow because it's snow. Get online.
Yeah, they can easily do that.
It
can be a Tuesday night weather forecast. There's a chance of 8 inches of snow tomorrow.
These kids got screwed.
They say, oh, well, we'll have school in the morning. Either way, we'll have a late start, but if not, we'll just do it virtual. I think
kids used to look forward to the weather. Oh, it's going to snow, and they'd get excited. They get the day off. Now they got to go to school. Sorry, kids. It's just one of those deals. You get to stop eating Tide Pods and do some homework.
Ah, Bink. Okay. Team Snow, apparently, on your side.
Very much Team Snow.
Okay. Well, that's the random question of the day. I figured you were going to be in on that.
My answer is yes.
I figured the answer was yes. Did you see the latest, though, with Pete Carroll up in Seattle? So we know Antonio Brown gets off of the suspension list, I guess, or the commissioner's list, I guess it is, after week 8 of the NFL season. And so there was a report a day or two ago from Shefty, Adam Schefter over at ESPN. And
Shefty, huh?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I call
first him first name basis.
Shefty, yes. It'd still be the last name, but I got you. I'm following you. I'm not as close with Adam Schefter as you are with Drew Lock's dad. I can't say I am in that regard, but yeah.
I don't call him Andrew Lock. I call him Andy Lock. You know, it's like Shefty.
So Adam Schefter.
Shefty.
Uh-huh. Shefty. It's just Shefty. We call him I usually call Rappaport like Rap Sheet because of his Twitter account. Right? Like, we call you Bink. We shorten everything up. Yeah. Make things a little bit easier there. So Pete Carroll has now commented about this. Typically, you maybe just ignore it. Like, you wouldn't even discuss it much about Seattle being listed as a team that potentially could land Antonio Brown. Pete Carroll made it clear that his team is taking a look at Antonio Brown, 10 days away from his suspension ending. He was on XM NFL radio and said, quote, "The thing I can tell you about it competitively is that our GM is on everything, yada, yada, yada. He knows everybody in the league." He went on to say, though, that they are doing their due diligence. It's more than simple due diligence, though. It seems like they are pursuing him. He went on to say that, quote, "It isn't settled yet. We don't know where it's going to go, but we're always on the ready to compete to get guys, and so this is one of those chances, and we'll see what happens." Didn't exactly deny the fact. They got DK Metcalf. They got Tyler Lockett. Russell Wilson, over the last couple of years, has mentioned his interest in playing with Antonio Brown. Does this make sense to you? Because I just hear AB with DK Metcalf, with Tyler Lockett. That's really attractive in terms of a wide receiver core in the National Football League. I think Antonio Brown still has the talent. Now, you better be okay with him maybe not being there for you in the playoffs, though. Like, that's the balance, because he might be there for week 11, week 12, week 13, week 14, and then do you trust him that he's there in the playoffs? You got to be willing to know that he might not be there for you.
But the guy does keep himself in football. Remember the Patriots? He made an instant impact with them.
Had a touchdown first.
If it was good, and Belichick knew what was going on. We all knew what was going on during Hard Knocks. He won the helmet. Which, by the way, the helmet that I actually have one of the helmets that Antonio wanted.
Why didn't you get in contact with him? He could have made some money, Bank.
It's 2010, he won 2011.
So you didn't have the helmet.
I was 1 year off.
You didn't have the helmet.
I was 1 year off, and I would have been.
You didn't have
I was going to donate it to a local high school, and I even called one of the coaches and said, "Do you have one of these shots that Antonio Brown wants? Because you could probably raise some money for your school. You could probably pay quite a bit." Remember when he won that helmet?
I do, yeah.
But I would kick the tires on him. But Seattle ought to be focusing on defense.
Yeah,
because that pass defense gives up 370 yards. You heard that right. 370 yards through the air a game. That is like quarterback seasons when they have a nice 370-yard passing game.
Yeah, Cam Newton in that win for Seattle, loss for New England, still threw for like 350 yards or so, and that by far has been Cam Newton's best. I'm with you on the defense. They need to go there, but
fine. Kick the tires on him. See what he.
But to me, also, just like we talked about, you know, Baltimore, they brought in Dez Bryant off the practice squad. It looks like that's what they're going to try to throw a dart at and see.
This is a hell of a lot better move than that.
Agreed. Yes, there's the distraction and all of that with Antonio Brown, but he's played more recently, and I still think he can play in this league. This is the question with AB will always be. Does he just freak out 24 hours after, you know, like, you don't know what he's going to be like the next day? Right, he's great for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he wakes up on a Monday morning and suddenly just feels like, you know what? I actually don't like it here in Seattle.
I don't like Russell anymore.
Something like that happens. Do you think he ends up in Seattle? I think he does.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think John Schneider, one of the best GMs in the National Football League. This is a move he'd make. This is a move that he would make.
DK Metcalf's a top 5 wide receiver in football right now. Tyler Lockett's is Mr. Reliable. Certainly.
Yeah, but I think Seattle's a pretty strong locker room as well. Strong leadership. Pete Carroll, I mean, talking about a guy with rings in college and the pros. Russell Wilson's been the 2 Super Bowls, got a ring. Again, strong locker room. Like you're talking about Kansas City. You can take in people and try to motivate them. You have the leader. But you would say, well, why didn't that work in New England? Because you had Tom Brady there with that team.
He retired like 3 times this
But that would scare me a little bit that it didn't work in New England with that leadership with Belichick and Brady. That would scare me a little bit that didn't work out there.
I know we were talking with Serta about this too. He doesn't think Seattle like needs Antonio Brown.
No, they need defense.
He brought up somebody I totally forgot about. They have Josh Gordon. Now, what I don't know, is he playing this year? But I forgot all about Josh Gordon. Hadn't heard that name in a while.
He's on the exempt list, I believe, because he still has to be reinstated from his most recent suspension. So he has not been reinstated. He's actually put on Twitter that he's applied for reinstatement multiple times and hasn't heard back from the league office yet.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I the minute Aldon Smith got reinstated, and we know he's having a fantastic year. Good for him down in Dallas, and things are heading in a much better direction.
That could be definitely got to look at and say, well, look what happened.
That's what I mean. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that he was reinstated. If Aldon Smith got reinstated, I don't know how Josh Gordon hasn't been reinstated. I mean, that's pretty crazy. I understand Gordon's had multiple times where he's had to get reinstated, but that's surprising to me if they're not even answering him, essentially, if that's true, if that's what he's tweeting is true, that he's not even getting a response. They haven't denied it, but they're not accepting it. Like a de facto suspension is what they're kind of just handing Josh Gordon at this point in time. I mean, if Antonio Brown is eligible to come back after week 8, are they going to line them both up at that point in time? Like, if Josh Gordon comes back, they have
Gordon and Brown?
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Antonio Brown, and Josh Gordon. Are you kidding me? Whew. That's nuts.
Better have some aspirin. You're going to get some headaches.
Yeah, I mean, better defense. That'll cover some of your issues defensively. You feel like you're just going
to
outscore people.
At some point, they're going to have to look at the defense. They can't just keep doing this.
Trademark it. There's going to be some guys available here in the next 11 days.
Which is shocking, because when you think of Seattle, you think of defense.
I used to be a huge Antonio Brown fan, a huge Antonio Brown supporter. Like, you know, I'm a fantasy guy. I loved Antonio Brown so much from, like, his rookie season where you could tell he was going to be a playmaker. But there's a reason to bring him in if you're Seattle. Like, I get that you believe that our culture is so strong here that we can put everything above all of that stuff. But, I mean, the Steelers, I would think, as an organization, have a pretty strong culture, too. And they were even like, yeah, we're done with this guy. Like, DK Metcalf is an ascending superstar player. Like, if he keeps going the way that he's been playing this season, he's going to be a top five wide receiver this year in the NFL. And Tyler Lockett's a really, really good player, too. So why even deal with it?
He was in the same receiving core at Ole Miss with A.J. Brown. Think about how sick that was. I mean, DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown.
By the way, the odds, of course, there's odds for where A.B. is going to land. Seattle is the favorite, not surprised. Baltimore, second best odds. Although, after the Dez Bryant thing, I don't know if I would put any money there. Green Bay, third best odds. Green Bay is interesting. They could certainly use some wide receiver help for Aaron Rodgers. Then it's the Niners staying in the NFC West there with Seattle. And then Tennessee, New Orleans, Tampa, and Indy. Those are kind of the top favorites to land.
It would be the Patriots
services.
If that would have failed so badly.
Oh, yeah. They're not going back that route.
No.
Typically, these are all, like, as we said, even with Le'Veon Bell. Like, though, the Le'Veon Bell midseason signing, that's typically a move the Patriots would have made. And that was another sign for me as we talked about that last week.
That was a big Tom Brady signing, too. Tom Brady really wanted AB in New England.
And I think that's how it is with Russ a little bit here. That's why I think Seattle's very likely. Russ has hinted over the last year or so all the opportunities that they've had that he kind of would like to have AB there. Now, maybe things have changed because over the last 8 months, AB's had some more, even more legal issues.
Then Tampa.
They don't need any wide receiver help down there.
Same thing with the Seahawks.
They got plenty of weapons offensively down there. I think there's more in Tampa than
Tom Brady was always a big AB guy. So even after he was like,
Bruce Arians was asked that multiple times in August or whatever, and he's like, yeah, essentially they're not going that route. So we shall see. Antonio Brown will be off of the suspension list here in about 11 days or so.
The NBA confirmed that its 2020 draft next month will be held virtually due to the pandemic, so that none of the top draft prospects will get to walk on stage, shake hands with Adam Silver. No events like the NFL still tried to pull off earlier this year, but the NBA draft isn't nearly as big of a deal and doesn't really bring in as much revenue as the NFL draft does.
I'm with you there. Yeah, it's not as big of a deal. Plus, this year's draft class, it's hard to match what you had last year with John Moran and Zion Williamson and Tyler Hero. Like, they've all been pretty fantastic. This year's class sucks anyway. It really does. It's a terrible NBA draft class. So if there's any year where you can, like, let's forget about this, let's go virtual, this would be the year. The NBA draft class in 2020 is really
buzz too when you canceled the March Madness and everything else.
Sure, but even that, like, the NBA, start, like, LaMelo Ball, I guess, is the biggest name, and he might be a top three pick.
The NBA is also, for next season, not this season, but the next season, start their games on Christmas Day. They've talked about that in the past, like, because they've kind of owned that day, like Thanksgiving's the football day.
Yeah.
The NBA has had so much success on Christmas. That's what they're thinking about in 2021. I guess the Board of Governors will be talking about that today.
We'll see. I'll be interested to see, ultimately, does the NBA start this year, though? Is it one of those where they wait till January? Even though typically Christmas Day, as you pointed out.
They made it work out with their bubble, how they had it, so I wouldn't put anything past them.
Will players be willing to, and who knows where the world will be at in January, but like, will the players be willing to bubble again, even if, you know, you bubble for the first month of the season.
You need a bigger bubble, though, because you have everything.
Yeah. So do you bubble for the first month or so? That's a conversation that will continue to come up, of course, when it comes to the NBA. And coming up next, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid, ahead of the Chiefs Broncos, on your exclusive broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.